We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On this glorious Friday, Lee Sterling, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Joe. You didn't know the story behind Rhinestone Cowboy in my intro?
I guess that was a fastball that got by me.
Okay. So, turned out one of my friends who I played with growing up in youth leagues, his father wrote Rhinestone Cowboy, and I was getting ready to come on. They played it as one of the intros, and I told the story, and I won that week, so it kind of stuck. So, that and also, a lot of people don't realize I was actually born in Abilene, Texas. So I have a little bit of cowboy in me, and
wow,
you know, maybe moving to Miami, you know, the 305, the glitter. So it stuck, and we're going to stick with it for a while.
Where did you play? Where was your youth league at? Was that also in Texas?
I played at a place. It was called K-Land. It's now called Boys and Girls Club off Kendall Drive.
Down south, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was over at North Dade Optimus, which was in North Miami. And Ron Howard's brother played at North Dade Optimus when they were filming the TV show Gentle Ben.
Wow!
You remember that?
I didn't know that there was a North. I didn't know there was a North Dade Optimus out there.
Yep.
So
yep.
Still around.
It's right next to Norland High School, and I believe they still play football there.
Okay, great.
They have great youth football. And they produce a ton of great players. So,
and you went into broadcasting because you didn't make it in the NFL.
That's right. I was not Channing Crowder.
Right. You know what?
I wasn't either.
Because I called Joe out earlier about it. I'm going to ask you because Joe said he was sweet back in the day.
I could hold my own.
Joe, I don't know if you know, Lee's big as hell. Lee looks me eye to eye. Lee, were you good? Like, were you a dog?
I was a quarterback. I was 6 foot, about 180 in high school. I played at a school called Southwest Texas State, now Texas State, and we won the FCS when I was there. I was the backup quarterback and starting punter. So I had a run. The only problem, I was real fast. I actually made the state 100-yard dash final, but I could only throw the ball about 50, 55 yards. Didn't have a cannon for an arm, so realized real quick that I wasn't making the NFL.
Well, I'll tell you this. Chad Pennington in 08 could only throw the ball about 40 yards, and we went 11-5 and went to the playoffs and won the AFC East. So don't get too down on yourself, man.
No. It worked out great. I got my ring and walked off in the sunset and went to the University of Texas and then finished at the University of Miami. So story was had a nice ending.
Walked off into the sunset. See that with the Rhinestone Cowboy playing.
Yep.
Lee, we got a big weekend coming up.
Yep.
Should be a fun weekend. We have the Marlins and the Mets. That kicks off tonight. The Avalanche can win the Stanley Cup tonight. What are the odds that they win the Stanley Cup?
You know, tonight? I think it's a real tough game to handicap. Colorado is a pretty big favorite here. I mean, they probably took the fight right out of Tampa. They're about a 180 favorite, so you have to lay $180 for every $100 if you want to bet them to win. I think the better way to play this game tonight is to go with the total. So the Avalanche, it seems like, have figured out a way to beat Andre Vasilevsky here. Got a couple weak goals on him, and how did they do it? They went to the five hole. And he did not allow a single five-hole goal in the three series before this, but he's allowed three already here. The Avalanche has seven or eight forwards with elite quickness. And what's crazy is the other facet of this series, that really has surprised everyone is the number of high danger chances and odd man rushes. They've had 68 high danger chances combined in the first four games at even strength alone, and Tampa's defensive structure was a big talking point coming in. It just hasn't been there for them, and I don't think it's going to be there either tonight. So I think if Colorado jumps out to another early lead, I think there will be a lot of people that will probably play the under, but I don't think that's the right play. I think this is going to be a game where you might see some desperation in Tampa. They might open up the game here and try to play with Colorado's pace, which they couldn't in either of the first two games. So I'm going to go over six goals here, plus 105 is one of my releases.
And Lee, it's funny you said that because I had it written down. Seven goals game one, seven goals game two, eight goals game three, and then five game four. Is that once you see the trend of over, then you get an under, it doesn't scare you away from the next
under?
I think we
were due for an under, and there was so much on the line in that game here. And remember, Tampa has not been in this situation before, down like this and against a team of this caliber. So they may not be able to handle it. And people think, Vasilevskiy will still keep them to 2-3 goals. I think we're looking at probably a 3-3 game after two or early third. And if that's the case, if we're sitting at 3-3, we're guaranteed a win. Someone's got to score that fourth goal. So just like, in baseball, you see some overs come late with a man on second. This is a great situation because all we need is that one goal if it's tied 3-3 and there's a lot of empty net goals. If Tampa falls down by two goals and it's 4-2, I think we'll see at least one empty net goal.
I got to ask you about a couple of baseball games, Lee. Yep. Sandy, first of all, locally, Alcantara goes tonight for the Marlins against the Mets. How does that game play out in terms of the odds and all that stuff?
I the total here might be a better way to go here. Alcantara's been so good, has just a 1.72 ERA. He's their guy that they go to. And I think both teams are going to maybe try to feel each other out. The total's at 7. Miami's a surprising 140 favorite. I don't want to lay 140 against the Mets anytime here. So, if it's decided by one run, I can see like a 3-2 game here. I don't think we're going to see a 4-3 or a 5-4 game. So let's go with the under also in the Mets-Marlins game tonight.
And then the Yankees and the Astros, that's a big series. The Yankees scored four runs last night in the ninth inning and walk it off. I don't know if that carries over. I don't know if that affects odds or not, but these are two of the better teams in the American League.
So I had Houston last night, and I died a few deaths watching that. I thought I had handicapped it perfect. I thought their starter could go 6-7 innings. Their relief staff has been really good all year, and just one of those things, just one of those days where and the Yankees are one of those teams, they just don't seem to ever quit here. So even with Justin Verlander pitching, I don't think you buck the Yankees here. So I'll take Severino here. I'll lay the 125 in the Yankees. One thing, don't ever go against a real hot team. I thought I had picked the perfect situation, but had everything right until the last three outs.
And, Lee, I got to ask you, it's a weird question, man, but just the NBA draft being last night, has a player ever drafted in any sport, have you ever took a future? Like when LeBron went to Cleveland, have you ever changed your approach to that team immediately after a player was drafted?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look what LeBron did and some of these other players. That draft, I mean, four of the five teams, it changed their fortunes. But I don't bet futures in the NBA draft unless I heard something. I had a pretty good source gave me some info. I mean, look what happened last night. Everyone thought Blanchard was going to go third. He goes first. So I think it's, total crapshoot. And so that's why I stay away from it. I try to stay in my lane. But I do like a UFC fight tonight. So, and I love good nicknames. So tonight they weighed in, and I saw the weigh-ins earlier today. Chris the Action Man Curtis, he's laying 135 against Rodolfo the Black Belt Hunter Vieira. It's a 180-pound division. This is the first fight on the main card that starts at 7 o'clock. What you have here is the classic striker and the action man Curtis against a grappler here. And Vieira, world champion jiu-jitsu artist, he's 2-1 in the UFC, but his loss was to, get this, Alexander Fluffy Hernandez. I mean, nicknamed Fluffy, not real impressive, and it was a huge upset where he couldn't get that first round submission and he tired quickly. Vieira, I just don't think he has the cardio. His stand-up isn't very good. Curtis, he has KO'd two studs in the UFC in Phil Hawes and Brendan Allen here in a four-week period here. I like the action man in this one, as I believe he's going to set a trap here and the black belt hunter will be the prey here. I think this one is going to be reminiscent of Ali standing over Liston when the action's done and Curtis is admiring his work. I'm so sure of this, guys. If I don't win this game, I'm taking you guys out to lunch next time we meet at a remote.
Oh, excellent. I'm going to – does that mean me or does that mean Hawk?
That means you if you're there also.
Okay. All right. I thought you were going to say his nickname, Alexander's nickname was The Great, not The Fluff.
Yeah. I mean, The Great would be a lot better, but it would be a little too predictable. I mean, The Fluff, I mean, Fluffy has got to be one of the worst nicknames I've ever heard for the UFC.
What are your other plays for this weekend that maybe we should dial in on?
The only other play I really like a lot in baseball tonight is the Tampa Bay Rays, and they're laying 1.5 runs plus 105. They're playing the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pittsburgh Pirates are like the Detroit Tigers, I believe, of last year in the second half. I think they're going to have a real good run, but they've got a pitcher tonight going named Mitch Keller. He has an ERA here, 4.72. He's been hovering around 5 in his career. Also, the big issue here for Pittsburgh, a lot of good young players, but one of them, Ke'Bryan Hayes, got hurt in yesterday's walk-off win against the Cubs here. This kid, absolute star in the making if you haven't seen him. He's by far the best player on the Pirates team. He dove into home plate on a walk-off sacrifice fly, and he actually looked like he got concussed on the play. I think Pittsburgh is a strong second-half team, but I just don't think they stand a chance here against a team like Tampa Bay that is very patient. So Keller sometimes has trouble throwing strikes, and this is a team, Tampa Bay, that will take pitches here deep into counts from the first batter, the leadoff batter, through the nine batter. So they have an OPS of over 700 against teams with losing records this year. I'm going to lay the 1.5 runs here and take Tampa Bay here over Pitt.
The son of Charlie Hayes, who played for the Phillies and the Yankees.
That's right. Third baseman.
How do you know stuff like this, Joe?
You know.
He wasn't getting concussed like you and I were.
I always have to find an angle, Lee, when I'm on with Channing to bring the University of Miami into the conversation. Yeah. So here we go. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm reading this quote here today from Max Johnson. He's the quarterback at Texas A&M. He is also the nephew of Mark Richt. Mm-hmm. And the son of Brad Johnson, and he said, the expectations of Texas A&M, we're not trying to be 8-4, we're trying to be national champions, and that's our plan. So my question to you is, Miami plays at Texas A&M in week 3. They don't want to be 8-4, according to Max Johnson. Will Miami hand them a loss, and what will the odds be?
Well, I'm not sure if Max Johnson is going to even start the game. They've got three quarterbacks there, and you know sometimes what they say, when you have three, you really have none. So I think it's still a wide open competition. If I'm Miami, I haven't done a real deep dive in all these teams. I just started this week doing some of the ACC teams. I'll watch every spring game. I actually did watch Texas A&M spring game. They will have all new starters on the defensive line. Now, I think almost every single one of them could be five-star players, but I think Miami's catching them at the right time. I think Miami has to be aggressive. They have not had a whole lot of success going against top-tier opponents the last 10, 15 years. So they got to be, I think, aggressive here. You know, Miami's got a lot of parts that, you know, do need to come together, but I think Miami, I don't know if this year or I think it's going to be, if not the first year, the second year, I think that Miami's going to be a scary team. So I think they got the right guy in Mario Cristobal. I think he's a great recruiter, motivator, great staff. I will say this, though, and I am a UM grad. My daughter went there. She was a cheerleader. I root for the U. Mario Cristobal is not a great game day coach. So neither was, you know, was Butch Davis. So I think if he has more talent, I think as Butch Davis once said, he's going to win 90% of the games or more. But he did make some mistakes. I know in his first year, I think there was 2 minutes left. Instead of taking a knee three times, he ran the ball. I have not seen this. You don't hear this talked about much, Joe, but maybe you can bring this up with Mario and some other coaches. Who is there? Do they have a coach that all he does is, once they get down to the last couple minutes, is he a, like, you know, clock specialist? Know when to time call timeouts? Can they run out the clock? It's an art that really is not talked about a lot, and there's a lot of situations where you need someone who's skilled in that. So Miami staff might be top two, top three in the country. I'd love to know who is in charge of, you know, calling timeouts, and does Mario work on that? Has he seen, you know, some film on that? Because, you know, that could be a weakness in some big games. I mean, he's pulled some real big upsets last year at the Horseshoe, but he also lost to Stanford and got beat bad to Utah twice. So I think he was the only guy that could really get them to the next level. But, you know, we still need to see it done, and it's going to be – I think it's going to be a fun ride. But to expect them to go 11-1, 12-0, I think is probably probably not going to happen the first year.
I think all those guys, Channing and I will talk about this in a minute, I think all those guys study the final 4 minutes of a game to figure out the best way to win the final 4 minutes. I think what throws it out of whack a little bit has been all of these spread offenses and scoring really fast. But if the third week going to A&M, what do you think that spread would be if you had to make a guess? A&M's going to be a home
team. I think A&M's going to be probably a 7.5 to 8 point favorite, if I had to guess right now. Get to see Jimbo again.
Yeah, we get to see Jimbo. All right, well, we got our homework assignment for the weekend, Channing, on what to look for and who to bet on, who to stay away from.
Sure, I just want to know, Channing, now, what's going on with your fund, you know, that you make the bets on. Is Hawk still making the bets from Toronto?
Yes, he actually is, and he's up there, and he's going to meet Rob Pozzola to watch some damn baseball game or something.
Okay.
So now,
okay,
after listening to this segment and talking to Pozzola, he's probably going to make 45 bets from another damn country and put it on my tab.
Okay. Well, yeah. I like the card. I think there's a good chance we can win. So you might want to, you know, give him the card if he hadn't heard it on air, and maybe we can get things back rolling with Rob's bets as they're watching them in person together and visiting, you know, the Tim Horton, and they can watch some baseball and some UFC and some hockey together.
Yeah, I'm in on you with the Avs over. I don't know who Action Man is, but I'm going to bet him, and then the Rays laying 1.5. I like those.
Yeah, and now if things, you know, don't go well, you know, just change, you know, the password, and you and Alex take over.
Don't even get his car deactivated. Don't let him in the door. I got you.
Hawk would bet on Channing's son's weekend baseball games if he could.
Oh, he needs action. I mean, he bet on two lizards crossing the road. So, yeah, he needs that action. But just going through a rough patch, so hopefully things even out.
Hey, Lee, I guess I might be telling a story. I don't know. When I worked with Sonny Hirsch, she had the gold sheet. And Sonny bet on every game except the University of Miami. And I always knew how our broadcast was going to go. If he was winning, we'd have a great broadcast. If he was losing, we'd still have a good broadcast, but it'd be a little more surly than expected.
So I never knew that. I know a lot about you and my dad. We helped out at Dennis for about 25 years, and you know, I went on a couple road trips in the 70s and early 80s, but did not know that fact. But, you know, hey, some of these games, are you going to really follow a score on Eastern Michigan against Western Michigan? So, you know, put $5, $10, $20 on a game gives you a little bit of interest in each game.
I had a book. I had to keep track of all the scores in a book. They would say, what's the score in game 35? Eastern Michigan beating Western Michigan.
There's a lot of games. There's like 65 games on the average weekend in college football. So I could see it doing it in the NFL, but college football, I think the most I've ever played is maybe 15, 20 in a day.
Oh, all right. Very good. All right. The website is ParamountSports.com. As always, great information. Lee, thank you for being with us.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.